This Friday will be 16 years that me and Della have been married. Praise the Lord that it's gone well. But on that day when we got married, I remember somebody telling me, they said, Johnny, if you get nervous and you got to sway, go ahead and sway. So if I get nervous tonight and I start swaying, it's okay for me to go ahead and sway. So, but if it keeps me calm. So, but anyway, before we go into this message, I'd like to pray. So, our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for tonight for the opportunity to go into Your Word, and I just pray that You would help me, Father, to just to convey to my brothers and sisters in Christ the message that You would have me to give them. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move to take some of this message and apply it to their hearts, that it would help them to be built up, Father, for You and for Your kingdom, and that Christ would be exalted in all things that are said, Father. Just thank You for Your Son. Thank You for saving our souls. And we just praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 2. This thing's too high, ain't it? Hopefully I won't breathe on it now. I was looking over my message tonight, and we're going to go to Philippians 4 in a minute, but I wanted to look back at this again, because to me, this really speaks a lot about what Paul's trying to convey through the whole book of Philippians. And let me see. In the fifth verse, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross." And I missed my verse. In verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Let each esteem others better than themselves. And just considering the message tonight, when I was going through, I actually did a message and I threw it away, and then I did another. So I'm hoping that what we're going to share tonight is going to be uplifting for you. If you'll look over in Philippians 4 now. We're going to do our speed study of Philippians 4. Verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dear beloved, dearly beloved." And he's referring to the Philippians, and he's talking to them, and he's referring to them as his joy and his crown. So even now, after this period of time where he hasn't been with them, he's hearing the good works that they're doing and the things that are coming out of Philippi, and he's receiving joy from that, because he was the one that spurred that work to begin. And he looks forward to the day when he will receive a crown at the judgment seat of Christ for the work that he has done with those body of believers there in Philippi. And so he's encouraging them to continue to stand fast, as he's already got this joy and everything from what they've already done. But now he's saying, continue to do that. Continue to stand fast in the things of the Lord. And he goes on here in the next passages, and we're going to cover, he talks about ways that he's encouraging the Philippians. And then there's things that Paul wants to give thanks for. And then he also talks about God's provision. First of all, he's encouraging the Philippians saints. He says in verse 2, he says, "I beseech Eudaeus and beseech Syntyche that they be the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And he's talking about a lot through the book of Philippians about this struggle between these two ladies. And he's saying that we should be encouraging them. The other believers there in Philippi should be encouraging them to be of the same mind. And so he also wants to, not only them, but each other. So he's talking about the true yoke fellows. And also talking about the fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So everybody in that local body, he's saying that y'all need to be encouraging these ladies to get it together. Okay? And not be mean to them. But you see a problem, then you need to try to intervene if you can. Now, we got a thing about hiding stuff. Because we don't want everybody to know our garbage, so to speak. So sometimes we'll have problems with somebody at the chapel and we're like, we keep it on the down low. But then you'll see somebody be like, what's going on over there? We see them people. For some reason they ain't talking. Something ain't going right with their relationship. And so that somebody might see that, and that might be the Holy Spirit leading you to go, hey, you know, we need to go talk to them. See what's going on. See if we can't intervene to help bring them back to be in the same mind. Because we don't want to be a big old division. We want it to be unity in the body. And so, you know, the body, you know, there's no one part of your body that's separate from the other. You know, your big toe, if you stub your big toe on the furniture at home, your big toe's not just going to sit there by itself going, ah! You're going to yell. You're going to grab your foot. You're going to dance around. Your heart rate's going to go up. Your mind, all this stuff going on in your body. The whole body is reacting to this stubbed foot. Well, in the spiritual body, when we see a stubbed foot or whatever's injured, we need to help get in there and help to be instrumental in helping relieve those problems. And try to bring everybody back into the same mind. Now, when I thought about this, Paul was saying, you know, esteem these ladies better than yourself. You know, most of us were like, oh, they're having a disagreement. That's their problem. We'll go on this way. No. We need to be involved with each other. We need to esteem each other better than ourselves. So when we see those problems, we shouldn't just say, well, I'm going to take the easy way out and run that away. I'm going to intervene. I'm going to try to be helpful to them, to esteem them better than myself instead of turning the other way. It says in verse 4, it says, rejoicing in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. When we're having a problem with somebody, and it doesn't just have to be in the body, and how we deal with people, well, we should be moderate about it. Now, when I have clients, a lot of my clients that I work with, they get really excited easy. And so if something ain't going just the way, you know, if, I'm trying to think of something. If the power goes out, they jump on the phone. Where's my power? I ain't got no power. Hey, and then calls down to Duke Power and talks to the representative and starts saying bad words to them because they ain't got the power turned on yet. And they're all hyped up. And then the people on the other end of the line are going, yeah, we'll work on getting your power on as soon as we can. All right, put that on the 2-day delay there. You know. So they got control over your power. But when you call them up and you say, excuse me, ma'am or sir, we're having a power outage and we really need some assistance getting it turned on, and you're polite with them and you're moderate with them, and you don't, you know, even though all your nerves inside are going, hey, my Yeah, we had this happen. Half my food's going out the window. You know, the water ain't working. You got to run down and go get some water to put in the toilet so you can flush it. And so I'm sitting here going, you know, and you get all riled up inside. And you got to be able to maintain, to be calm, and be able to appropriately address people. And don't worry about anybody that's getting over on you. Because right here, what does it say? The Lord is at hand. The Lord is right there with you. He knows everything that's going on. So if somebody's doing you wrong, He's going to know about it. So you ain't really got to go giving that guy a hard time, because the Lord knows about it. What's it say? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Okay? So if somebody does you wrong in a mean way, where they're trying to hurt you some, then you say, hey, that's the Lord. Now run, because that's what I do. They used to tell me to fight the guy, but I tried to fight the dude one time and he beat me up. So from now on, I run. And it ain't no pride, ain't no ego thing, ain't no nothing. All I'm worried about is making sure that I'm okay. So, and Della would be glad to hear that. So, unless you go to one of them scary houses. One time I went to a scary house and Della was... I'm ashamed. We went to a scary house and I was in the back to start with, and then I moved. I said, hang on, Della. And I put Della in the back behind us. And then all of a sudden, they had this guy come up with a fake chainsaw, and he was, man, trying to scare me. Well, they startled me, and it just hit me so fast, I just took off running, and I was running people over to get to the elevator, Della included. But all things aside, we try, you know, whatever situation, we need to be, you know, moderate, calm about things. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is the verse that me and Ray Clark, we would always talk about. And I'd come over to his house, Ray, something terrible happened this week. And every time we would come over this verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Every time, he'd be like, what do we need to do? I was like, yeah, we need to make our prayers known to God. So, you know, we need to keep that in our mind. When something comes up, in everything, we need to pray and we need to be giving thanks. So, whatever it might be. You're getting ready to buy a car. Pray about it. Young people, you're getting ready to get married. I sure hope you prayed about it. You actually should be praying about it right now for when that day comes down the line, that God's going to bring you that right person that's going to, that not only you're going to be glorifying God, they're going to glorify God, and then together, it'll be a great combination of glorification to God in y'all's relationship. But you should be praying for them right now. Not the day before you get married, okay, but right now. And it says that, another thing that's interesting, it says, with thanksgiving. And I didn't understand this. I was like, what, why you be thankful for something? I just asked for it. The idea is thinking, being thankful for something as if it already happened. Being thankful for something that you know, if God's got your well-being in mind, whatever it be, whether it be giving you that request or denying that request, you need to be thankful. Because there might be a reason he held it back. And it says here, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when we're in prayer and we're keeping our minds on Him and focused on Him, then we're going to have peace about it. Because, you know, the burden's not really up to us anymore. The burden's been lifted to God. It's God's burden now. So, I mean, and I'm the first one to say I have a problem with worrying. I know probably several brothers here that can agree with that. But we need to try to give it over to God and have that peace that comes from knowing God's going to do the best thing for us. God's going to look out for our best interest. And when we're thinking about these prayers, and I was thinking this about the kids in the prayer question, and it was about that part where it says in everything. And I think about the kids sometimes when they're like, they said, pray for my boo-boo. Pray for my skint toe. But it says everything. So you can't really turn a kid down if he throws your prayer request like that, because that's everything. And we should think of prayer like that. You know, bad headaches, pray about it. Whatever you're battling, pray about it. And it'll provide peace. Just the fact of knowing that God is in the midst of the situation is going to give you that peace. There are several references in the Old Testament. I was looking for specific, but it says it several times where God went before them. God went before them here, and God went before them there. But so when you're going into battle or whatever it is, going for a job interview, going into surgery, whatever, God's already in there. He's already in the interviewing room. He's already in the operating room. He's already with whatever battle you're facing, He's already there before you. So you don't have to worry, because God is going to give you the peace to get through it. And if you're being moderate with other people, and you're praying about other people, then you'll be esteeming others better than yourself. If you'll be thinking on those things about how to deal with other people, and not getting mad, and talking about their mama, and stuff like that, then you'll be esteeming them better than yourself. Even when you're in a heated battle, you'll be esteeming them better than yourself. In verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. And if you're thinking about these things, and you're trying to put them in this brain, and put them in this heart, and they start to come out, and your dealings with other people, you're going to be esteeming others better than yourselves. Things that are true. The gospel. Things that are honest. Things that are just, God. Things that are pure, the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that are lovely, the Lord Jesus Christ again. If there be any virtue, think on these things. He said, think on these things. Paul, those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul's been spending all this time teaching people. And those things which I've learned. So everything that he's given them, and I don't mean giving you $5, I mean spiritual things that he's given them. The gospel, praying with them, his teaching to them, those things that they've heard from him, those things that they see in him, and the things that he does. That he wants us to emulate him. And you say, well, wait a minute, that's Paul. We're supposed to emulate Christ. Well, Paul's striving to emulate Christ. So all he's saying is, try to emulate me, and in that way, you'll be emulating Christ. Now, there's some older brothers here that, you know, I have a lot of respect for, and I would consider them to be some men of God. And so, I mean, Paul's not here. I can read what Paul's telling me. But I can sort of follow these older men and say, hey, you know, look, these guys are helping me to have an example, you know, of which direction to go, of what I'm reading. How should I be taking this in? So, you know, it's important not just to learn all these things and take it all in, but to do it. Where you take these things, where the rubber meets the road, and go out and you preach the gospel to people, you give to people, well, you listen to people. And you help them. Not just in spiritual ways, physical ways, by giving them things they need, but then also by giving them the gospel. We should be reaching out and doing what Paul said. And I think I sort of, last time when I was speaking, I didn't want y'all to think that I was minimizing the fact that Paul, I wasn't trying to say Paul doesn't read his Bible and he doesn't spend time in prayer. I wasn't saying that. What I was saying was it was important for him to have that come out of him in the works that he did. So the prayer life, the Bible, the things that he did to have a relationship with Christ, it came out to the other people around him. In Matthew 5:15, found it. I had it. More up here. I mean, Matthew 5:15. Excuse me. It says, 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When Paul's saying to make it real, bring it to life, do what I'm telling you to do, he wants it to be manifest. He wants people to see the works in all of us and go, hey, there's something strange about that fellow. He don't act like other people in these situations. I need to go talk to that fellow and see what's so different. Because he didn't yell at that lady at the department store when she didn't treat him right like I would have done. Well, what is the difference in their heart and what's the difference in mine? They'll be seeking you out. They want to hear the gospel. And then we will be esteeming others higher when we start doing those things. And then the combo meal is you're going to receive God's peace about it. You're going to receive the peace of God. Oh, it's quick this time. Alright, one thing that I was wanting to bring out that was sort of, I just started humming this song when I started reading about this letting your light show and letting your works be seen. It was, I'm sure y'all have heard the song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. It's called Live Out Loud. It says, imagine this. I get a phone call from Regis and he says, do you want to be a millionaire? And they put me on a show and I win with two lifelines to spare. And then picture this. I act like nothing ever happened and I bury all the money and I put it in a coffee can. Well, I've been given more than Regis ever gave away. I was a dead man who was walked to come out of my grave. Was called to come out of my grave. I think it's time for making some noise. Wake up the neighbors. Get the word out. Come on, crank the music. Climb a mountain and shout. This is life we've been given, made to be lived out loud. So Christ living in us. So when we're with other friends, neighbors, other people, then they should be seeing in your life Christ shouting out of you. In the way you act, the way you talk to them. That's what we should be doing. Living out loud for Christ. The next section, Paul is giving thanks. He's talking about, he's giving thanks for his contentment. How many people are content? It's a hard thing to be content when you live in a society that tells you don't be content for anything. Be constantly striving for better. Be constantly trying to get everything you want. And keep on. So then you go to McDonald's and you get the biggie size fries and your drink. And then you get the biggie size fries and drink. And then the biggie, y'all got it. On and on and on. Just have until you're never going to be content. In verse 10 it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, and I have learned, in whatsoever state I am therein, to be content." To be content. "I know both how to be abased in want, and I know how to be to abound, have plenty. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Now y'all might think I'm wrong to go on this area, but I'm going to go on into it anyway. Because see, I'm 40 now, and it said when you turn 40, you have the right to talk about the younger generation. So, that's what I'm going to do. When I was growing up, I lived with my mama and my stepdaddy. And my stepdaddy was an alcoholic. And he beat my mom. And one time, I remember he was beating my mom, and me and my mom, we went in cohort together and said, "If he starts beating you up, you're going to run to the neighbor's house, and we're going to get the neighbors to call the police, and they're going to come down here and intervene." Well, I went next door, and the neighbors were drunk. So then I went to another neighbor's house, and they asked me if it was going to be a long-distance phone call. And so finally I found a neighbor that was willing to let us call police, and they came out and intervened. But it was an interesting thing about my stepdad. My stepdad was gifted. He had the ability. He could take any one of you guys' cars. He could rip the seats out. He could redo your whole car. He could put a convertible top on. He could do all sorts of things. I just wish I had an ounce of the talent that he had. I mean, this was natural stuff. This wasn't something that somebody taught him. He just was good at it. But he would rather spend money on a fifth of liquor than to take my sister to the doctor. And one of the things that I was always thinking about was the pinto beans. Because that was our food of choice. Now, I know there's some brothers here that probably had a pinto bean diet. I don't know. But we had pinto beans. We didn't have it for breakfast. But we would have pinto beans for about 3 days straight. Lunch, dinner, lunch, dinner, lunch, dinner, pinto beans. And you know, I actually liked pinto beans. So I was blessed. So I was content, but I mean, it would have been nice to have some other thing. It would have been nice to have, you know, some hamburgers and hot dogs and pizza and stuff. But the situation didn't call for it. And I guess in time we just learned to be content with what we had. And that's what we had to do. And that's what Paul's talking about. But you have to think, you guys have got it made in the shade. I'm telling you, you got parents that love you. They take care of you. They provide for you things you need. You need to be thankful for that. You need to be thankful. Because where, my parents, they're so terrible, blah, blah, blah. It could be much worse. It could be much worse. God has blessed you where you at for a reason. He's blessed you with the parents that you have for a reason. And you should need to be grateful for them. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people right now that are living a pinto bean diet. And they're living in Reedsville. And they got mom and daddies that don't care. They don't care what their kids do. They don't care what the kids watch on TV. They don't care, you know, if they say foul words to people. They don't say nothing. And then when the kids grow up and they start treating everybody, and they're not esteeming others better than themselves, that's gonna be part of the reason why. Because they weren't content with what they had, and they didn't have a proper upbringing. So y'all need to be content with what you got, no matter where you be. And be thankful for what you got. The scripture also says, but see, he said, you know, I got everything and I've been with nothing. So he's had the both worlds. So he's able to handle either way. But he says, you know, no matter what, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Whether I got something, money in my pocket, or whether I don't have no money in my pocket. Whether I got food in the refrigerator, whether I don't. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You can face any challenge with Christ. You know, you got money. Money don't go but so far. Then you run out. If you're looking for a lawyer, you know, they'll only serve you as long as your wallet's got green in it. But the Lord is going to be with you forever. He's going to take care of you. Now, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. The brethren at Philippi, they were helping Paul out. They were esteeming Paul better than themselves by helping him out. And that's what we should do. When we see brothers that are in a missionary situation, brothers that are in need, we need to be esteeming them better than ourselves. We don't need to say, hey, we're going to pray for you, have a nice day. We need to say, I'll pray for you, and let's go to my Calvinator and my box, my food pantry, and let's hook you up some food. You ain't got no shirts. You ain't got no church for, you're going to look for a job and you don't have a suit. Let's go see if we can get you a suit. And then we'll pray about you getting that job. We need to be stepping it up a notch and esteeming others better than ourselves. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only, for even Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. So Paul's talking about here, he's like, hey, you know, it's great that y'all sent me some stuff. You know, I'm sure the missionaries, they go, man, Reed will send us a box of goodies. Praise the Lord. You know, they're not going to turn it away. Because that one thing is, that giving was God's means of helping provide for their needs. God may use you. And you get burdened for the shoebox campaign. And you go, hey, I want to go help out. I want to go do something. So you get burdened and you say, I'm going to go buy a whole bunch of extra stuff and send it down there. You're giving and it's helping the Lord. It's helping further not only with physical needs, but spiritual needs as well. Because I know when they send them little shoeboxes off, they got the gospel in them. And I don't know, some of them might have little Bibles or something. I think, do they have little Bibles in them? Well, they need to put some little Bibles in there. But anyway, he says, but he was telling that the Thessalonica people, they sent it once. And again, unto my necessity. They sent it because he had need. Okay? Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He wasn't worried about, hey, you sending me some stuff. He was saying, oh, now I got some more stuff. I can put stuff here. He was thinking about, hey, them guys got a blessing from helping me out. God's going to bless them because they was helping me out. That's what he's saying. It says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, I got that one right, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What did it say? An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. A sacrifice. So when you're sending something, that's a sacrifice. Sacrificing, sending something to somebody else. And it's not, how can I say this? It's not for any glory to yourself or to Paul, but God's accepting it as a sacrifice. And he's saying, man, this is wonderful. You know, it's saying the odor of the sweet smell. When we were down at Bryan College, they was burning incense. Well, they say that those incense was like a sweet smelling savor to God up in heaven. And they were the prayers of the saints. And they were saying, they were praying and it would go up to heaven and God would be pleased. It was well pleasing to God. He was loving the fact that people were giving. It was making God happy to know, you know, we're not just giving stuff because we're not giving it in Ray Clark's name. We're giving it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't from us individually. This is from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's given me the desire to give it to you. He should get the praise and worship for it. It says it's easy to see why easy to see why Philippi is a joy to Paul's heart. Not because of the wallet, but that the Philippians were still being moved by the Holy Spirit to give support for his ministry. He just said earlier that he had no needs. Earlier he said he didn't have no needs, but the Philippians were still sending it. He didn't call them up on the phone and say, hey, I need something. They just sent it. And it was just a sweet smelling savor to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. God will provide. You know, if God was willing to send his son to take care of the big stuff, do you not believe he can settle the little stuff? You know, Christ esteemed him others better than himself. When he went to the cross and died for our sins, there was that day where he was esteeming us better than himself. He took our sins upon himself. Praise the Lord. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you, and all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are at Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The thing that got me here was Caesar's household. These folks right here, they was the leaders in Rome. And they had believers right in Caesar's household. Because of Paul's work, because the Philippians provided for Paul, and Paul was able to serve the Romans, to Caesar's household. They supported him. He was able to minister. We support minister, different outreaches. They're able to minister. God's using us, not just in the words of our mouth, but in our finances, in our prayers, to support the brothers and sisters that are working in the mission field. And the mission field not only is over in Africa, the mission field is right here in Reidsville, North Carolina, Rockingham County, Eden, Greensboro, wherever you have an opportunity to spread the gospel to others. So we need to just be diligent, keeping our eyes open. We need to just try to mobilize for spreading the gospel to others locally. So, thank you.